Newton Solicitors on Stray FM's Business Hub.
Being your own boss is pretty great. There's no one to nag you all the time, no annoying office gossip, and you can pick all the best jobs you want. The flexibility and job variety is really appealing.
If they're self-employed, there's a different tax status, so there can be financial advantages. And it's often argued that gives the self-employed more flexibility in what they do, especially in the sort of modern lifestyle where there's often childcare commitments, other commitments, they want to do several jobs. So it's meant to give flexibility there.
The notion of freelancers has also been really helpful for companies who want to take on people when they need them. But the difference between self-employed and full-time has become a bit of a grey area.
Now, a concern is that the gig economy has been a way for some organisations to make more money, pay people less, give less protection. And that's come about with the zero-hour contracts for Sports Direct. There's come a lot of criticism. There's been issues with Uber taxis. There's been issues most recently brought up in the Pimlico plumbers case. The issue here was the employment status of Mr. Smith, who claimed to be a worker. Now, the term gig economy is something that's probably used in legal circles quite a lot. It refers to people being paid for doing a gig, doing a job, a function, paid for the work they do. Maybe a taxi driver could be for production of a report. Is there a journalist for doing an article? It's for the work they're doing. And it's been on the rise over recent years, where an organisation is trying to have a structure which gives them flexibility, where they pay people for the work they need done, but are not stuck with having to provide work in quieter times.
There's recently been a case against Pimlico Plumbers, where the idea of being a worker came into play. But does anyone actually know what the word worker means?
The issue involved a plumber who was arguing that he was a worker, and he sought to reduce his hours. He wasn't allowed to do this, and effectively the arrangement was ended, and he brought claims. And the issue before the courts was to determine, was he a worker or was he self-employed? Now, it's probably worth explaining that there's different types of employment. There can be a number of workers who are not pure and full employees, but have a number of the characteristics. You have a lot of people who work on banks, agencies, where there is some obligation. There is an agreement to provide the service, but it's not quite as rigid as perhaps a more traditional employment relationship. Now, your full employee has protection from unfair dismissal. The worker also has a number of protections. He has protection of the minimum wage. He has protection for holiday pay. He has rights in relation to protection from discrimination laws. So not quite as many rights as the full employee, but a number of rights and protections. And in this case, the issue was Mr. Smith a worker? The Employment Tribunal found he was. Pimlico appealed that to the Employment Appeal Tribunal, which is the next tier up. They agreed with the original decision, and their option is to go to the Court of Appeal. Now, unlike with the other cases, this is the highest court to have looked at this issue. And they, again, found that in this case, Mr. Smith was actually a worker. He was afforded a number of protections.
But this all seems a bit confusing, considering he was originally a freelancer, right?
He was taken on freelance, and that's the way it stayed. The contract is he's self-employed. That's what the documents say. But, of course, paper documents may say one thing, and it may even start off in that way. But relationships, working relationships can develop. There may become a mutual dependence. They may affect, in effect, what you get. It's a relationship which looks like an employment relationship, or at least a working relationship, where there is some, the reality is he's got to turn up to work, he's got to do certain hours, and if he's not available, they're not going to give him any more work, and effectively he's going to lose out. So there's pressures, not strict, technically allowed within the contract, but they end up with a practical result that what he is doing is not too dissimilar to what a worker would do, and perhaps getting closer to what an employer-employee relationship is in practice. There's concerns, firstly, are employees or workers' rights being eroded by the back door with this nominal self-employment relationship? There may also be an issue for the revenue because of the different tax status. The revenue might be looking and thinking, we're losing a lot of money here. So it is a significant judgment, but be cautious with it, because recently some Uber drivers were found to be workers or employees. It doesn't mean that all Uber drivers are going to be found to be workers or employees. It's very much a case-by-case basis.
So what advice do Newton solicitors have?
I think they've got the first point you look at is you would... Most people will know what an employment relationship is. They'll have an idea. You give me work, I do the work, I've got to turn up at a certain time, I've got to pay certain instructions. If I don't turn up, I'll be in trouble. I can't just take time off. If the relationship is becoming one that you think, it's not really self-employed, I'm doing what I'm instructed to do, and it's I'm working for essentially one organisation full time, and that can be quite key. Are you really self-employed? Because they've got to be, they may not be getting the holiday pay and these perks, but there could also be issues for the tax authority, the revenue, and there's also a bigger issue for employers in a lot of ways. If you've got a model in which you think whatever is self-employed, that's what my contract says, but the reality is that what these self-employed people are doing is akin to what your employee, you would expect an employee to do or a worker to do, be wary, because if they start treating the employee, so the self-employed person, as such, and get rid of them at will, don't pay them, don't give them work, treat them in a way that they wouldn't treat an employee, then they could have a problem, because if they're taken to court or tribunal, employment tribunal, they're going to be very exposed to claims. Because if they've got the status wrong, if they believe they're self-employed, that's what the contract says, but that's not what really is happening, they're going to be fully exposed. And they could also be hit by the revenue. So it's a risk. Again, with smaller organisations, the risk's probably going to be heavier. If you've got a smaller resources, to suddenly find you thought you could get rid of someone and you've got an unfair dismissal or a discrimination claim on your hands, which you didn't think you were liable for. For larger organisations, if you've got a large business model, which has a lot of workers working for you, normally self-employed, but some courts start finding they're not self-employed, you could have not only a major headache with the revenue, you could be exposed for a number of claims, backdated holiday pay. If, for example, you have 20 people working for you on a self-employed basis, and it's found that a couple of them take you to tribunal and found that they're really self-employed, they're really workers, they're not self-employed at all, then you might be paying backdated holiday for a couple of years for a number of employees, and that could be an absolute horror show for you. So you've got to be very careful how you do it. I mean, it's not only a case of drafting your contracts well, but it's how things develop, what's really happening. Is the contract really reflecting the relationship? And it's quite a minefield. I think my general advice is be cautious and treat everybody well, and in case they might be an employee, follow some fair process. Be wary of what your liabilities are if you're wrong. No, well, we've got a good employment team. There's myself, my colleagues Malcolm Jones and Oliver Hebden. We're based across Yorkshire, North Yorkshire and South Durham. Come to any of our offices and we can help either employers, give a view, help with contracts, help with advice, explain risks. You could advise the employers on potential liabilities, rights, how best to minimise the risk. And with employees, again, advise on potential rights if issues arise.
Here's how you can get in touch with Newton Solicitors if you have any questions.
Either go to our website, it's newtons.co.uk, or contact any of our offices and ask to speak to myself, Paul Hargreaves, or Oliver Hebden, or Malcolm Jones. We're pleased to help you.
Newton Solicitors on Stray FM's Business Hub.